Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with all of you today. Trust that you're having a great day, and I hope that our technology where we are is going to work just well. What a day. What a time. What a amazing journey we are all in. My God, it is absolutely necessary that we have a perception about the days that we're living in. I feel as though at times we're sitting back in the observatory watching a great match go back and forth, and one side hits the ball to the other side, and the other side hits the ball to the other side, and everybody's wondering, you know, what is the right thing? And I want to tell you that they're both right, if you will, both the side of, wonderful moments and difficult days. It just is a matter of the timing. Listen, somebody in the world right now is rejoicing. The heavens are rejoicing. If one soul repents, if one person repents of their sin, their unbelief, if they confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's gift to the world in the realm of a sacrifice, and that person receives the benefit of that salvation, all the angels in heaven are rejoicing. And we have to believe today, with all the missionaries and the evangelists and the people that are going out and sharing the good news with as many as they can, that there are souls getting saved. And so the heavens are rejoicing. And we have to also believe there are people on this earth right now that are prospering in the Lord. They are experiencing the blessing of the Lord. They are walking in the beauty of the Lord. And because of the salvation, because they have been accepted, because their names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the condition of their life really is a secondary thing, because primarily their hearts have been touched by the beauty of the Lord and they've been born again. They're at peace. They have joy. They have love in their hearts, and they've begun the journey of salvation. So someone on the earth is having a really magnificent, fabulous time. And then we agree that there are others that are not having such a wonderful stay up on the earth. There is darkness. There is trouble. There is, evil, wicked things going on. People are dying of this, that, the other thing. And it's just an amazing reality in this world. And so when it comes to, goodwill, peace on earth, that is for every human being that will receive the good news of the gospel and to have that intimate personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any better than that, because that's where the seal of the Holy Spirit comes to seal that individual into eternal life. And the promises of God that bring us into eternity are far beyond anything we can imagine. And yet the gloom and the doom of a soul that rejects the salvation of the Lord, being cast into hell or death or eventually the eternal lake of fire, that is never going to be good. And yet that's what the Word of God says. And so what I'm getting at here this morning is we're hearing things about our country, America. And here's what we're hearing. Number one, we're hearing that everything is turning around. We're hearing that Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and all the deep state players are going to jail. The economy is soaring. We are booming. Things are getting good. I mean, there are changes in trade, in tariffs, in economics, in politics, in government. Massive transformations that are affecting nations all over the world are taking place. No more war with North Korea. We're moving into this time where everything is good. The most oil production in, I don't know how long, Texas last week had more outflow of oil than at any other time in the history of them being a state in this United States of America. So we're drilling our own oil. We're exporting oil. Absolutely phenomenal things are going on. It appears that we're going back to a gold standard for the dollar, that there's actually going to be a gold and silver backed dollar, which is huge. And so the banking systems are changing so that they can no longer use that, what do they call, fractional banking, and there's another name for it as well. So on the one side, everything appears to be moving fast forward in the realm of positivity, and people are getting financially wealthy, and people are prospering in this capitalistic society. The president is saying that there will never be a socialist regime in this country. And it looks like people are now beginning to, you know, share the idea that 2020 belongs to Donald Trump, that he's going to win again. There's not a Democrat on the board that wants to run for president that's going to have any power against the positive things that Donald J. Trump is doing. Well, all of that, whether or not it affects you directly or not, and what I mean by that is you have to stand back and look at your life in the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years and ask yourself a question. Has the politics within this nation affected you? I know that since 1972 and 1973, when abortion became legalized in this country, it didn't change my life personally at all. And when, prior to that, it didn't change my life at all either. Before homosexual marriages were legalized in our country, it didn't affect my life at all, and it doesn't affect my life at all, except for the growing antagonism of the world against the Holy Spirit. We, like Lot, maybe walk through an environment that we don't enjoy, and that is a reality that is transformative. But as far as my personal, life and my work and what I do and what I have, the things of this world haven't touched it at all. And I don't know if that's just a supernatural hedge of protection around our lives or what that is, but none of the things that this country are doing have particularly affected or changed me directly. Now, my faith in Christ and the reading of the scriptures obviously has compelled me into a calling to cry out. Now, on the one hand, we're hearing all these positive things going on. On the other hand, there is the very real thinking people that are standing back and they're looking through the biblical lens at the signs of the times. And they're saying in their hearts and minds, how can this continue on? What is this prosperity? What is this call for peace and safety and security? Have we turned the corner? Is that real? Because people are standing back on the other side saying, wait a second, is the God of the Bible alive? Or is he the God of Ezekiel's time when the people were crying out, God has forsaken the earth? And the Lord does not see. Remember in Ezekiel chapter 9, it says exactly that. And again, I want to read that because I think it's important. So in Ezekiel chapter 9, nearing the very last verses of that chapter, here's what the people were saying. And you have to believe this is kind of what they're thinking in the days that we're living in, right? By the actions that they are committing. And so in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 9, then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. So that's what the Lord was telling his prophet Ezekiel. He say, man, the sins of this nation are just brutal. And he said, and the land is full of blood and the city full of perverseness. Now, that sounds like go into Washington and drain the swamp, right? I mean, if there's a swamp, then we have to agree that it would line up with being perverse and the land full of blood with the innocents. I mean, that's true. So God is saying that. And then in verse, or continuing on in verse 9, it says, for they say, the leaders of this nation of Israel at the time of Ezekiel, they say, the Lord has forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. Wow. So in verse 10, as for me also, my eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. So here you have, in the days of Ezekiel, God telling his prophet that the house of Israel and Judah, which is God's covenanted people, was exceeding great. Their land is full of blood, their city full of perversion, and they're saying, the Lord has forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And then God's response is, well, my eye is not going to spare, I'm going to recompense them for what they've done. So, for 44 years, since abortion has been legalized in our country, the last few years, homosexuality has been touted as legal for marriages, but accepted within our society anyways. And we know that there, if there's a swamp, there's corruption and perverseness going on in Hollywood, Washington, D.C., and throughout the nation. We know the rank condition of a nation that has been inundated with pornography and images through the internet and, you know, rebellion against God and a people turning away from the Lord and a generation that has basically, you know, thumbed its nose at the church because they didn't like what they were getting from it or seeing. And this is just, you know, no restraint. This is unrestrained human nature and being promoted, basically. And that's what we're seeing and witnessing. And yet, people, the leaders are acting like, I mean, the Supreme Court justices must have thought God has forsaken the earth. He doesn't care if we pass this into law. Or, you know, God does not see, therefore we could do what we want to do. So people on the other side of this equation are standing back going, well, wait a second, according to the word, God is not going to wink. God has not forsaken the earth. God is not blind. And that he says he's going to step in and he's going to recompense for their actions. And he's not going to spare or have pity when he does. And on the other side of this coin, while everybody's proclaiming peace, safety, a turning of the ship, a turning of the tide, America being made great again, we're still doing the very things that God condemns. I mean, we still, in over 2 years, haven't turned from the things that this particular verse in Ezekiel talks about. And so one has to step back and wonder. And I think when you're stepping back and you're looking through the biblical lens at what's going on in our country, and you're seeing things from God's perspective, you're not so wholeheartedly ready to just jump on board the Trump train and say everything's going to be all right because Donald Trump is the leader of the nation and he's a patriot and he's working in politics and, you know, everything's turning out okay. And yet we're still seeing the bloody crimes. Now, Roe versus Wade being overturned, that would be a huge step in the right direction to a land that's shedding innocent blood. However, we're not seeing that yet. We're hearing about it. We've been hearing about it for a number of years, and we're still marrying men and men and women and women. So, and we could go on down the list of all the things we continue to do. So the economy is where the focus is, the money. And isn't the love of money the root of all evil? So again, people standing back, looking at God's nature and how God deals with sin and corruption in societies, whether it's Babylon, whether it's Rome, you know, God deals with nations, and the nations are but a drop in the bucket to him, and he's not blind, and he hasn't forsaken the earth. He's very much involved with every person on this earth. He's so involved that he knows when a bird falls to the ground. I mean, how involved could God be that there's not a bird on the planet that will fall to the ground in the deepest, darkest jungle that he's not aware of? I mean, that shows God being aware and in all omniscient, all knowing God. And yet man is living like they're never going to have to give an account. So again, you know, you want to be positive about what's going on in America and you know, the stuff that's happening. But if you're truly born again, you've already sided with the Lord. You're already on God's side. You're on Jesus' side. You're on the side of the Holy Spirit. And until this world or the country you live in lines up and measures up to his word, his standard, you can't just say, wow, look, our economy is doing better, therefore everything is good, God is with us, even though we're still murdering babies and marrying homosexuals and lesbians. I mean, and those are just two, you know, pillars in our society that show the rebellion, you know, against God. So that's why we always refer to that. So the people are on the one side are saying, you know, what's wrong with you gloom and doom Christians that you won't come and join us in the party bandwagon of where everything's better now, make America great again, even though we're still doing the things that are condemned. And the people are looking from the other perspective at people that are on the Trump train or the bandwagon of America great again and everything's well. They're looking at all those people going, what are you guys doing? You're falling away into apostasy. You guys are taking the bait. You're falling into the trap of peace and safety. And why aren't you more concerned about God from God's perspective when a country for 40 to 50 to 60 years, you know, raises its fist in the face of a holy God and dares God to do something, doesn't even recognize when God's sending his judgments upon the land, like fires and earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes. And I mean, you name all the stuff that's been going on, including 2008, a financial collapse in our country. Now we're touting a $22 trillion debt in one sector of our society. They just last a couple of days ago said that now we're $22 trillion of debt. So how do you get into this whole thing about jumping into everything's okay? I remember as a little kid living in California, I must have been 7 years old, and there was some guy, he was a serial killer. And I remember as a little kid hearing about him. He was a serial killer in California. And I remember riding my bike in the middle of the day and hearing that they caught the serial killer, the serial killer. And everybody in the neighborhood was rejoicing, and everybody was happy, and they were clapping because they caught the serial killer. He's no longer going to be a serial killer. And I remember having a sense of elation within me, like, hey, I don't, not really understanding all this, but everybody's happy that they caught a bad guy. Well, I'm not so sure that we've caught the bad guy yet in our country, in our nation. I do know from a biblical perspective that in the last days, deception will be greater than at any other time in the history of the world. I also know that the whole world lieth under the sway of the evil one. I also know in the last days it is the devil that deceived the whole world. I know the word of God tells me that when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes because of the conduct of their actions. So I have this concern as a Christian who reads the Bible that believes God's word, that as long as we are committing the crimes against God that he condemns absolutely as an abomination in his word, that we should be very careful about just saying, okay, you know, everything's better now. Now, there was a time in the economy of God that we've talked about many times, and those of you that have followed this ministry for any length of time, you know that I've been crying out for years for a Josiah to come to power in America, that Josiah was a king in the economy of Israel. When he found the word of the Lord, he ripped his clothes because he realized why his nation was in ill repute, why it was a mess and in shambles, because he found the law of the Lord, the Torah. And when he read the law of the Lord, he said, oh, my God, this is why we're in so much trouble. And so Josiah is moved upon by the Holy Spirit, and he begins a revolution within his nation. And he begins to tear down all the altars of Baal, and he begins to turn down all the altars of the Sodomites and the houses of the Sodomites. And, I mean, he goes throughout the nation. And so I had been praying for that for years, the four anointings that would break the yoke off the United States, one of them being Josiah, the other being Jehu, someone that would deal with the Jezebel spirit within our nation, another one, Phinehas, who took a spear into the tent of an Israelite man and a Midianite woman and stabbed them in the tent where 23,000 people had already died. You remember the story, but the plague stopped, and God blessed the lineage of Phinehas in his generations forever. So we had Phinehas, we had Josiah, we had Jehu, and then Elijah, the Elijah anointing. So by those four anointings, all representing the anointing of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, I was praying and believing that our nation could have the yoke of slavery and bondage to the powers of darkness broken, and that we could see a real change. And so we prayed for Josiah, and we looked at Trump and said, man, here's Josiah. Everybody else said he's Cyrus, and he's all these things. Very well may be. Now, the sad story in both cases, as soon as Josiah was finished with his reformation, everything went right back to the way it was again. And then the destruction that had been prophesied that was being withheld during his administration, because he was a holy man, he was righteous before God. Well, he sustained that particular generation, but then he died. And then the evil came back and the judgment came and they were destroyed. And so do we have a Josiah in power right now? Well, as long as homosexual marriages are still permitted in this country, the answer is emphatically no, because Josiah dealt with the house of the Sodomites. The whole movement of sexual perversion was dealt with under his administration. And as long as we're still murdering babies, the answer is emphatically no. We do not have a Josiah, because Josiah dealt with those things head on right up front. Years have gone by now, and we're not seeing any change in these things. And so we still see the lewdness, the corruption within our society. And so, again, a Christian man or a Christian woman has to step back and look through the biblical lens and say, well, I'm not so sure what I'm seeing here. You know, I'm not so sure I have the confidence to just jump on board and start prophesying peace and safety, or everything is perfect now, everything is good now, everything's A-okay. Now, I want to go back to something I said earlier, and then I'd love to talk with you and hear your thoughts about these things. But what I'm thinking about is, you know, going back to the beginning, and my life has not been touched by Ronald Reagan administration, Barack Obama administration, Bill Clinton administration, Bush administration, Daddy Bush and Young Bush, you know, or a Trump administration. The only way that they've touched me is in my soul, as to whether or not they, you know, this is good or evil. And, you know, the lineage of kings is always good kings, evil kings. So what are these? But every one of them, from Ronald Reagan forward, there was still abortion in the land. I mean, it's just gotten progressively worse in the society that we live in today. But they've never directly affected me in my paycheck. They've never directly affected me in my health. They've never directly affected me in my relationships or the things that I love to do on God's planet Earth, like travel and climb mountains and do all these different things. I mean, I'm still living my life regardless of who they are. When the Barack Obamas came into power, they didn't affect my life because I'm born again. My life is hid in Christ. I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and I know that the best that this world could give is nothing in comparison to the promises that God has made unto me for eternity. I'm getting a glorified body. We're going to be exploring universes with the Lord. I mean, we can't even begin to comprehend again. So now what I am concerned about, however, is that the Bible says eventually there's going to come a man of sin. Now, there's been many men of sin. Adolf Hitler was a man of sin. I think Barack Obama was a man of sin, quite frankly. And there have been other men of sin that have done wicked, evil things. But the Bible tells me in the last days that there would come a wicked ruler, and that the world, the whole world, and again, just to our listeners who, you know, fail to recognize this or try to somehow, you know, spiritualize this, I would just refer once again to the book of Revelation on how this is going to look. And I just want to read one more time out of Revelation chapter 13 who this beast is. Now, here's what it says in verse 1. This is John, the apostle. He's standing upon the sea, the sand of the sea. He saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, you have to go back one verse to Revelation chapter 12, verse 17 to understand this dragon, because Revelation 12 is all about the dragon. It begins with the wonder in the heaven when he saw a great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns, seven crowns upon his heads. And so you see this red dragon existing in Revelation 12. And in verse 17, this dragon is said to, and here's what I'm going to read, Revelation 12, 17. The dragon was wroth with the woman, means super angry, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, the remnant, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the dragon is going to make war. And what is the mechanism of his war? The very next verse, what we call Revelation 13, 1, a beast rising up out of the sea. And then who gives this beast power? The dragon gave this beast power, a seat, and great authority. Now, verse 3 of Revelation 13 says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. Well, we know that the beast that's coming to power, the little horn, the man of sin, the son of perdition, we know that he's not going to have literally seven heads. So you have to go back into Bible prophecy and realize it's seven heads or seven kings. Okay, and they have seven kingdoms, there's seven empires. So one of the empires was wounded, as it were, to death, but it's a revived empire in the last days. And we already know the seven heads, you know, who they are and who the eighth will be. We've talked about that, but let me move forward. It says in verse 3, I beheld one of his heads wounded to death, his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So a lot of commentators and people that teach this say, well, they're talking about the world of the Middle East. Okay? But that's not consistent with the rest of the chapter says. In verse 5, here's what it says. Now we're talking about the whole world, it says. It says, all the world wondered after the beast. They worshiped the dragon, and they worshiped the beast. That's all in verses 3 and 4. Now, verse 5 says who they are. Who are these languages? There was given unto him, the beast, a mouth. So an empire is coming that's going to be speaking great things and blasphemies. Now, to me, that beast is the Islamic caliphate. And I believe that there's a history here with the seven heads of power, the ten horns, and the ten kings that are going to be part of that caliphate system. And the great things that are coming out of Islam's mouth is that Allah has no son. So there's a denial. There's Antichrist spirit connected to them altogether. And they blaspheme the work of Christ on the cross. They have their own system, and et cetera, et cetera. So I could get into that. But here's the deal. It says, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's exactly 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, the God of the Jews, the God of the Christians, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And you know that there's a deep hatred in the Islamic world for Israel, Jerusalem, and, you know, the temple and all that stuff. That's why they dominate the Temple Mount right now. But here's the secret. You ready? Verse 7. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So that description there doesn't leave anybody out. The only people that are left out from worshiping this beast and this dragon are those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And if the name is written in the Lamb's book of life, they will not worship this beast or his image or his mark or his system or his name. I mean, they will not, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel, they will not bow down and worship the king of Babylon. They're just not going to do it, but it's going to put their life at risk. They're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. But if God intervenes, there's going to be a supernatural miracle. But unfortunately, there are many people that are going to be cast into these fiery furnaces and into the lion's dens and are going to be beheaded. We know that's true. And yet, because of their faith to not deny the lordship of Jesus Christ and submit to that godless system that you won't be able to buy or sell in, well, they're going to be victorious in eternal life anyways. But the fact of the matter, folks, what concerns me is that my Bible tells me that this time is going to come, and it's going to be a very deceptive time. But let's move on. What else is going to happen? We just read about the political aspect of this beast, and that's what the first verses of Revelation chapter 13 are. It's all about the governmental, political parts. But then there's a counterpart, and we read about the counterpart in chapter 13, verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So the patience and the faith of the saints is not to engage, okay, in a violent way. It is a time of being patient. It is a time of maintaining faith while all this is underway, as this is all moving forward. And verse 11, here's the counterpart. I beheld, and another beast coming up out of the earth. So the first beast came up out of the sea. The second beast is coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And I want you to know that speaking as a dragon is not roaring fire, brimstone. No, speaking like a dragon is going back to the Garden of Eden, where the serpent was more subtle and more crafty than any of the creatures. And so this one looks like a lamb, okay, so it has lamb nature to it. It speaks as a dragon, very persuasive, very cunning speech, you know, getting people that if they don't have the mind of Christ to believe that what this beast is like a great salesman that could sell you, could sell ice cubes to Eskimos. Okay, so this one is looking like a lamb, has horns like a lamb, power like a lamb, yet it's, and it speaks as a dragon, so it's very persuasive, very deceptive, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. So that first beast has power over the nations for 3.5 years, right? And so this second beast, continuing on, causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. So now we have worship, okay? And so this worshiping is the religious part of this. And it says, whose deadly wound was healed. So this one is causing the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, verse 13. And he doeth, the second beast, does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, we may not say that fire is coming down from heaven in the sight of men like in the days of Elijah. It may happen. But we may be hearing a system of government telling everybody all the great wonders that are happening. Like, and just for an example, well, we don't see this happening. We don't see that happening. Look at all the good that's happening. And this could be a deception if the continuation of sin is being promoted. So the deception is, wow, look at the wonderful works that are going on from the beast. And they may not call it a beast or recognize it as a beast or a dragon. They're going to be deceived. They're going to wonder. They're going to worship. But it's going to be something that, you know, everybody's going to be told to look at. Look how wonderful this is all moving, that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And, verse 14, deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. So obviously, the beast is going to be doing miracles. In other words, everything's going to look like it's unbelievably great. And this is going to be the deception. And you're going to hear people saying, wow, look at this and look at that. We're not in trouble here anymore. But what is it? In a sin-sick society, these are false miracles that appear to be from God, but it's a major deception. Why? Because verse 14 again, he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. Some people would say it's a miracle that North Korea never fired another rocket test. Okay? Some people would say the miracle is in the economy. Some people would say the miracle is in the money. Some people would say the miracle is in this or that. But we're still blaspheming God in our conduct as a nation. So, as a type and shadow, we need to be careful. Now, it goes on to say that not only do they do miracles, he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Now you go back to Daniel, and what did they do with Nebuchadnezzar? They created a statue. They made an image. And what was the deal? That everybody in the world of that day that heard the sackbut and the psaltery and all the flutes and all the things, the music, they were to bow down and worship. They were to give homage to the beast. They were to applaud him. They were to, you know, just give him honor for the great miracles that he's doing. And everybody was going, wow, we're a world at peace and blah, blah, blah. But they didn't know that there was a Medo-Persian empire that was right on their back, breathing down their neck, that was ready to pounce. But this is what they did. They should make an image to the beast. And the Bible says in Revelation 13, it's going to happen again. There's a beast who has a created image. You know, we're going to image this man. We're going to image this system. We're going to put a, there's going to be certain marks he's going to leave. He's going to leave his mark on things. All right? Now, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So there's something that once died that came back to life in the ancient empires. And that's why when you read Revelation chapter 17, it talks about those who have the mind of wisdom. There are seven kings, five are fallen, one is yet to come, and he must rule a short space when he comes. So you have five are fallen. One is, which was speaking of the Roman Empire, the seventh is not yet come, but when it comes, the seventh empire, when Israel's a nation, it'll rule a short time. And then there'll come the eighth, which will be made up of the seven. So all the different, and that's why you see in Revelation 13 at the beginning, it had the feet of a bear, the mouth of a lion, the body of a leopard. It's all one, whereas in Daniel, those same leopard, bear, and lion are independent. Well, this is why you come to the caliphate, because they are what we know today as the Middle Eastern nations. But so here we have an image now that's being made to the beast. Everybody's supposed to worship it. Verse 15, listen to this carefully now. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, that is a direct connection going back to Daniel's day. You know what Daniel didn't have in those days? Nebuchadnezzar didn't have a television. They didn't have a television in those days to, you know, to really express the image of the beast, the man of sin, the persuasive, horn-like, dragon-speaking, deceptive, lying spirit beast that persuades deceived mankind into worshiping or honoring or giving homage, saying, what a great leader you are, and your system is the best, and on and on and on, right? So we have to be careful. We have to be careful because, note this, the beast is not just Islamic. Note this, that it is Egyptian, it is Assyrian, it is Babylonian, it is also Medo-Persian or Iranian, it is also Grecian, and it is also Roman. And a lot of what we have in America today is from the Roman Empire with our senators. And, you know, you can go on down the list and you could see the Roman numerals that were used in our country. And there's a lot of Rome with the Caesars. And so this beast in the last days is not just a bunch of Islamic people. Okay. But know that Rome was built by the Turks as well, from Turkey. That's right. The builders of Rome were from Turkey. You got to study out the history. But we know that the seventh is either the Ottoman Empire, which I don't believe because Israel was not a nation at that time, or the United States of America that has yielded to the Babylonian mindset and becomes, in the last days, this whole conglomeration. It's all different aspects. That's why it's confusing. You know, the world doesn't get it. They're deceived by it. They don't see it, but it's got all the elements, and the eighth is made up of all of them. Rome, Greece, Medo-Persia, Babylon, Assyria, Egypt, and then the one that's been existent in the last 2,000 years of the church age. But while Israel's a nation, it is the United States. And then who makes up all of them? The United Nations is the eighth. The United Nations is a combination of Islam, communism, socialism, capitalism, but it is the ism of all isms. And the leader, when he comes to the United Nations, it would be like a Barack Obama in the United Nations or somebody else in the United Nations that's a great leader that's going to solve the problems of the world. It's going to be like a lamb. And what is the United Nations? It's a peacekeeping organization, but it does anything but keep the peace. It's just waiting for the right person to step in, to take the world court, to take all the globalization power unto itself. Now, Trump is making war, supposedly, against the United Nations. He's trying to bring back a sovereign, independent United Nations, and that's why many people are on board trying to work with him. And, you know, as the Holy Spirit reveals the character, we have to understand that there's a battle going on. And so this is one of the positive things in that makes you want to get involved, but you're very careful because you know what time it is, right? And keeping your eyes on Jesus. Now watch this. Go back to Revelation chapter 13. Anybody that doesn't worship the image of the beast is going to be killed. And then verse 16 says this. And he causes, all right, this second beast causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand. There's an allegiance here. Or in their foreheads. So it causes, in other words, it forces everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. So we've looked at the image. Now we have the mark. And then 17 says that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. Now, the reason why it's being forced on people is because if they don't have it, they can't buy or sell. And if they can't buy or sell, how are they going to get their food? How are they going to pay their mortgage? How are they going to have their insurance? How are they going to get gasoline? How are they going to do all the things that we do in this world if you don't have the mark? So the force isn't being brought into some concentration camp and having it forced upon you. The force is, well, if you don't have this mark, you can't operate in this world system. And that is why God is telling people to prepare an ark, to get ready to be outside the system, to go into the wilderness, because that's the only way you're going to survive, by not taking the mark. I don't think come in the middle of the night and somebody's going to take you down to a detention center and force a mark on your forehead or in your right hand. No, I believe that the forcing, the causing of people to receive the mark of the beast is that they're, you know, a week is going to go by and they can't buy gas. A week is going to go by, a month is going to go by, and they're going to literally be forced into taking it, because you got to feed the kids, you got to take care of the family, you got to pay the bills, because if you don't pay the mortgage, you're not going to have a roof over your head. And if you can't buy gasoline, you can't drive your car, and you can't get from point A to point B, and you're not prepared. So how many people are unprepared? Well, think about all those Christians that are believing in a pre-tribulational rapture. They all think they're going to fly away, so they've laughed at everybody that's preparing. They've mocked at it, scoffed at it, kind of, because it's never going to happen to them. Well, they're going to be the first ones taking the mark of the beast in many cases, unfortunately, because they're going to be forced and they're not prepared, and they're going to join the apostasy. Then we're told that not only that no man might buy or sell, save he that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. All right, so the only way to buy or sell in this new world order is to have the mark, the name of the beast, or the number, the arithmos, of his authority. So something of his mark, could it be a new credit card, a new economy, a new currency that the global world leader will tell the whole world it's a one world currency and no other currency in the world is going to be used to buy or sell. In order to have this currency, you have to receive the mark. You have to pledge your allegiance to the empire. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? It reminds me of Jesus saying, whose image and superscription is on this coin? Caesar. No, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Give to God what's God's. So the whole world, when Caesar was on a coin, that's what they did business with, right? But you and I both know that there's a necessity to collapse economies around the world. The economies have to collapse. Sovereign independent currencies are going to have to go away by the time Revelation 13 is fulfilled. It is a one-world global system. Will it be a digital system? Will people actually have to have a credit card, or will it be in your forehead or in your right hand, in a chip, in a mark? Will there be some kind of mark? You know, I think it's kind of silly to think we're all going to have tattoos on our heads. I don't want a tattoo on my body at all. I don't think it's a real tattoo in that sense. I think there is a mark in the forehead or in the right hand. And a lot of people are wanting to know, well, what is that? You know, today you cannot get on an airplane. I went to a store the other day. Where was I at? We're checking into a hotel. And do you know, without a credit card, you can't even pay cash for a hotel room? You had to have a credit card. And I said, well, what if I didn't have a credit card and I just wanted to pay cash for a hotel room? They said, well, we wouldn't let you in. It was just that absolute. So we already live in a system where if you don't have certain things, you can't buy or sell. If you don't have dollars, you can't buy or sell. If you don't have a credit card, you can't buy or sell. So what is the mark of this global beast system that's coming to make war with everything called God? Well, obviously, it's going to be something that's not palatable to most believers in the world today. And yet they'll be forced, because they'll be starving to death or freezing because they can't pay for their heat. They can't pay for their air conditioning if it's hot. And so what happens here? Here is wisdom. Verse 18, let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 60, which is 60 and 6. So what have people done for 2,000 years? They've been doing the gematria, right? Or the numerology. Nero, 666. But Nero happened way before the writing of the book of Revelation. Adolf Hitler, Barack Obama, Henry Kissinger. I mean, people have gone, and I don't blame them. I don't ridicule them. I think they are intelligent to be trying to understand this. We're trying to understand what this means yet, and I think the only way we're ever really going to know this wisdom is through the Holy Spirit unveiling our minds to let us see. Because if you could go and read it in the newspaper, it's not deceptive. This mark, this image, this number has to be in the realm of deep, dark deception to overwhelm the minds of the masses. So only those who have the spirit of truth will ever have the veil removed, and that is going to be revelatory, and then most people probably wouldn't believe it anyways. So it's something that you and I have to be cognizant of. Now, we're being told to prepare an ark, get food, get water, you know, pay your taxes on your land in advance. Have backup this, backup that. Why? Because for 3.5 years, and that's the wisdom, 3.5 years is what we have to go through. And there's a woman that's going into the wilderness to a prepared place where she'll be nurtured for 3.5 years during the Great Tribulation. And so I believe that those who are preparing, you could call them preppers, whatever you want, if you don't have godly conduct, it's going to fail. I want to tell you that right now. Without godly conduct, without godly behavior, without Holy Spirit character, The survivalists are going to eat themselves. Believe me, things are going to break down because the Spirit of God won't be there to protect them. So the Antichrist spirits will sniff that out and they'll destroy it. It's not going to work. We're talking about a woman going into the wilderness who's born again, has everything to do with God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, who loves the Lord with her whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're talking here about a spiritual bride of Yeshua that is going to be protected. We know the 144,000 overcomers because of, not because of their Jewishness in the natural, but because they are faithful unto death. They follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. There's no guile in their mouth. It's because of their character. The 144,000 overcomers are also not going to be touched by this great tribulation, the pressure of the Antichrist forcing upon people to take a mark to damn their souls. Once you take the mark, you're damned. So the overcoming is to not receive any of this demonic stuff. Now, what is my point in sharing this all again? Well, people can get on every bandwagon they want to in the times we're living in, but you have to look through the biblical lens to see what's going on in the rest of the world, and you have to sit back and say, wait a second, how can I go full board and get on the bandwagon of peace and safety, happy days are here again, being told $22 trillion debt, we're murdering babies, we're marrying homosexuals and lesbians, we're supporting and sponsoring transgenderism. Our nation is inundated with pornography, deception, lies, corruption, violence, hip-hop, a hippie to the hibbin, and don't stop the rockin' to the hippie to the beat. And we've got every kind of force within our society that is working. On top of that, we have major enemies, and we have an inward self-destruction that's going on. We have issues going on with building a wall. And I go back 27 years ago, and I've shared this several times, 27 years ago, I had a vision, and I was with Patricia, and I was taken up into space, and when I was up in space, I began to descend, and I could make out the planet Earth, and then I could see the North American continent, and I remember landing in the Northeast somewhere. I thought it was around Boston. It was charcoal gray atmosphere. And I could hear somebody walking in the frightful evening and the echoing of their steps on the cobblestone roads. And they wanted to go to a house where there was a little light on. And everything else was dark. But everywhere spread out, there was a light here and a light there spread out throughout the nation. And within the context of that vision of that individual wanting to go into that house because they were terrified of what was going on and they were just wanting to protect their flesh, well, the presence of God was so rich in that house that the man of God would not allow that person to enter in. But the second part of this vision is God took me into the country, the United States, and I saw military power surrounding our nation. It was our own military. And God showed me that our borders, this is 27 years ago before even having this conversation, that our borders were protected by military power, our own military power to prevent any evil from coming against us. But then God took me into a church in Los Angeles, a big mega church, and it was so corrupt. There was homosexuality. There was fornication. There were women having abortions. There were men watching pornography. And the gospel that was being preached was so candy-coated, it wasn't doing anything to the sanctifying of the church, the people. It was just a feel-good thing. God showed me that even though we had military power protecting our borders, we were decaying from the inside out. We were so morally corrupt, even in our churches, had become so corrupt by the defiling power of the adversary because there was no real word of God being talked about. And in these last days, you're not going to hear much more of the true word of God. You're going to get turned over to the deceptive, watered-down gospel that has no sanctifying power to the saving of a soul. I'm telling you, the days are almost over. You're not going to hear the true word of God anymore, and the deception is going to be great, and the church is going to be so rank that if you have any spirituality to you, you're going to be heartbroken over the condition of what is called the church. It's going to be so blasphemous, and it's already begun by major denominational churches adhering to the homosexual agenda. They don't stand against abortion. They're not really hard on sin and issues, so they let things go. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a nightmare. You're going to weep and lament like you've never dreamed just at the condition of the church while we're all protected by our military power so no evil nations get us. I saw that in a vision, but we're dying from within. Well, the third part of the vision that I had 27 years ago is I was at a college university and the bell rang and there were people scurrying into every different classroom. One of the classrooms was Islam. The other one was atheism. The other one was agnosticism. The other one was Christianity. And there was one person left in the courtyard not knowing which room to go into. And that one person represented a final harvest, and that every people group was trying to convince it which room to go into. And God showed me the last harvest, that final harvest before these things really get nasty. So we're going to be living in very difficult times. They're already very intense times. The Bible has told us all about it, and we need to be cognizant of it. If you would like to call into the program today and you have any questions or comments, I've got about 5 minutes left on the broadcast. The number to call is 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll make sure to bring you directly into the conversation. And it does appear that we have a caller. Maybe they pressed the number 1 earlier. I'm just seeing the screen now, but let's take that call. Coming in from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes, this
good morning.
Has been very, very good teaching and bringing out about the beast system. I personally believe that we are in the belly of the beast right now, and there will definitely be this number that they will have to take, people will, to buy and sell, because all this has been in the making. The barcodes on all of our things that we buy is an instigation that is where it is going to. And then also, I believe that with the situation going on spiritually, we are in that falling away that the Bible talks about in the Bible. And when it comes to the point where those that will not take the mark of the beast, there will also come a time when they will try, and they will try to kill you because you are not one of them. But that's when the glory of God and the Spirit of God will be upon his people. But I'm not saying there won't be martyrs, because some will be. And it could come in our country as well, because the darkness that's covering the earth is already here, and gross darkness to people. And I just appreciate you bringing all this out so the people are being warned. So God bless.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that. The comments that you heard today are very rich, and what I appreciate them is, again, what I'm wanting to do is caution people, the body of Christ, the people that are tuned into this simple, tiny little speck of dust radio program. I'm wanting to tell you that there's a reason why reservation should be part of your wisdom, about rather than jumping on board and getting involved in all the hilarity of this moment. You need to step back, look through the biblical lens, and make sure that what you're getting involved with is a proper thing. You're born again. You're hid in Christ. Your life is hid in Christ. So be careful about exposing yourself to movements that appear to be right, that the whole world is going to be deceived by, and they're going to hail it. You see, right now, Donald Trump, the whole world is not hailing him as of yet, especially Nancy Pelosi and the left. And yet there are a lot of leaders around the world that are absolutely hailing his work in certain degrees. But right now, if you're going to move, involve, and get involved and pray and intercede for President Donald J. Trump, do it cautiously. Pray for his soul, that he will be saved, that the world power, demonic, satanic spirit, the God of this world, doesn't invade his mind, doesn't take over his soul, doesn't move in pride or anything like that. Pray for the president. And then as he is fighting for America to be an independent sovereign nation, to break away from the globalization, and if you see that as a real battle, pray for that. Why? Because it would be nice to have a sovereign nation that's at war. Remember, the beast and the dragon are going to make war with the saints, and they will be overcome for 3.5 years. I mean, that is most the disturbing thing that I've ever heard. Now, some people have thought that the beast is going to make war with the saints who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus, that means Israel and the United States, because we're both, you know, more spiritual nations.